blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let us continue in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Well, we have to read a long account. We even have to use our responsive reading for it. Now here is the account where the children of Israel were facing 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and foot soldiers like the numbers of the sand of the sea. We are told that in chapter 13, verse 5. Saul, King Saul, feared. Because of his fear, he sinned against God. Now, but we just read the account of how God would deliver Israel just by two individuals, Jonathan and his armor bearer, against this huge number of people, well, causing the whole army, as you would see in chapter 14, verse 16. Now, just two men would cause this whole multitude that the army could see, as far as their eyes can see, melt away. It's like seeing snow on the hill, and then you literally see it under the sun and just melting and just flowing away. Now, this is the sight that God describes, the kind of melting of this huge array before them. What must we learn? What can we learn through all this? Now, let's look at chapter 3, verse 12 first. Now, here is King Saul speaking, chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me into Gilgal. Now, Saul was afraid. The people have scattered from me, in verse 8. And now these enemies, this huge array, they're not going to melt away. They are going to just flow down to me. He was full of fear. That is why he ended up sinning against God. Now, what about chapter 14? What about the son? Here we just read about the father. What about the son? Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young men that bear his armor, come and let us go over. Huh? Go over to the Philistines? Now here is one, the father so afraid, wanting to retreat. And here is the son say, let's go over. Now let's go over to the other side. Let's go over to the Philistines garrison. And that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Now what are opposite behaviors? Now what differentiated them? What is it that differentiated them? Here we read, Saul was in fear and trembling. Now, the answer is found in 1 Samuel chapter 4, chapter 14, verse 6. This is the key verse that reveals to us the huge difference. Verse 6. Now, and chapter 14, verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young men that bear his armor, come, now let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. Now, here are the key lessons. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The difference was faith. The difference was faith. Saul lived by sight. Jonathan lived by faith. Faith differentiated their behaviors. Now, this is one time we are glad to say, not like father, like son, right? Father was a bad example. The son had a good example. Now, what are the lessons that we can learn? In life, we are going to face many challenges. In life, we are going to face situations that we often will feel. Everything is against us. The odds are against us. Now, in life, we will also be faced with situations where we need to make choices. Here's Jonathan needing to figure out, do we go, do we not go, as we'll see afterwards. Let's go, but when they reach there, what should we do? Are we really going to go ahead? Now, with all that, the Christian must learn to have faith. If you have fear, you will end up like Saul. You have faith, you will end up like Jonathan. Now, how to have such a faith? What kind of faith is this? That is what we want to draw from this incident before us. Now, look at chapter 14, verse 6 again, all right? Chapter 14, verse 6. Now, there are three areas that we must learn from Jonathan in his faith. Three areas. God willing, we'll cover just the first. Now, look at chapter 14, verse 6. Now, there are three things in his statement that we must notice. Number one, it may be that the Lord will work for us. The second one, for there is no restraint to the Lord. The third aspect of his heart, to save by many or by few. Three things that revealed the faith of Jonathan that we must learn from, because we will face these things in life as well. Fears, challenges, overwhelming us, not knowing what to do. How can we not fail? How can we not fail? Well, I hope to use F-A-I-T-H, all right, to help us remember some lessons. F-A-I-T-H, faith, faith. Now, the first thing we must realize is this. Now, when you think about this, all right, when you think about this, this is a very, very scary situation. And when you imagine, in fact, when I was reading this chapter, I struggled to know where to cut it off, right? I can't cut it off halfway, because then the whole picture of his faith is lost. Because there are so much details about, well, just look at this, all right? Chapter 13. Well, where they went, verse 5. How many people? 600 people left. And then where they lived, where they abode, verse 16. All right, where the Philistines abode. Then verse 17, well, where the Philistines went, different directions. And then verse 19, all right? Then, well, there was no smith found. God even wanted to talk about, well, you know, they didn't know how to make weapons. The Philistines forbid them, generation after generation, to the point where they do not know how to make weapons. And what did they have? Well, just a fowl. Now, all these kind of details, and the only persons that have some equipment that could use for war, sword or spear, is just Jonathan and his father. Now, why all these details? Why all these details? And then just one statement from Jonathan. Well, come, let us go over. It may be for us that it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint with the Lord to save by many or by few, and that's it. So many things described about the situation that they're in, and then just one statement about faith. Now, I believe the lesson is this. God intentionally gave all these details to help us to realize, and he understands, when we are going through life, we will face many different and difficult situations in life. Just like them, they were in that kind of situation. So each time when we are in situations that seem very complex, very difficult, very overwhelming, very even suicidal, all right? If we were to do something, it's literally suicidal. We'll get in trouble, we'll suffer loss. Just to obey God. We will face those things. So God wants to give these details to let us know he was in what I would say a far more frightening situation than you and I. But notice one thing. He had faith. Just a simple statement of what was in his heart and mind. That was all that mattered. Christian, all this description here is to teach us, well, the F. What is the F? When we are under great pressure, whether it's time, whether it's losses, whether it's confusion, and we need to make some decisions, or we need to make some choices, or we need to, obey God in something, things will look very complicated because of fear. Fear makes everything very confusing. Like Saul, when he was in fear, this and that and this and that, he just kept looking at all these things happening. What should I do? I have to force myself to sin against God. He literally said, I have to force myself. Why was Saul's thinking so confused? Where Jonathan's thinking was so clear, so simple. Everything that he was facing. Now, in fact, I would say this. When you realize what God described about what Saul was facing, what Jonathan was facing after that was far worse than Saul. There was far more reason for Jonathan to fear than Saul. Because Saul just simply saw these people, I won't say simply, it is quite scary, right? In chapter 13, verse 5, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. Now, these are the super-duper elite. That is what he's trying to say. Elite equipment, most advanced military equipment, horsemen, the most elite troops, and then just soldiers like sand of the sea. Saul was facing it. It's really quite scary for him to look up and see that. But look at what God describes about Jonathan. He described, now when Jonathan and Saul gathered, and then the spoilers went forward. Means, they encamp at Michmash, but God says, they send spoilers in verse 17. Came out, and they went in all sorts of direction. Now this direction describes this. One group of spoilers was going northwards. That's the first one, all right? Verse 17, right? Going upwards, northwards. One group of spoilers going westward. Another group of spoilers going eastward. And here they are sitting ducks. So for Jonathan, he really saw this army starting to split up around them. Saul just saw them gathered, that's all. But yet, now with all this description, and not only that, no equipment, war equipment. File, you know it's a file, right? Young ones, I hope you know what is a file. Not the file you carry your notes in. Those metal ones that they use to sharpen things, all right? File versus chariots. Now, why did God want to describe all this? Jonathan was facing even worse situation than Saul. But yet, his thinking was so clear. How to have this kind of thinking? Where to start to have this kind of faith? What do you think is the answer? What is F? Find out if it is God's will. Find out if it is God's will. Don't laugh, all right? I know it's not that very nice, but I hope it helps you to remember. Find out if it's God's will. Now, how do you know that? Now, notice in chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 6. So we are studying just the first statement. It may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Now, he's saying, let's go over. God may work for us. Now, this he is not saying that, he has doubts, that kind of thing. What he's saying is, now, it depends on whether it is God's will to deliver us now and to deliver Israel through our hands. It all depends whether it is God's will. Maybe it is God's will for us to lose this battle. But if it is God's will for us to win, we will win, even if it is just two of us. Now, in the midst of all the things happening around him, he had one simple thought that made everything so simple in life. Now, Christian, that is our problem. When we are in fear, when we are facing a decision, what job to take, and a few offers, what course of studies to take, what course to enroll my child in, what ECA, all these kind of decisions in life. And you begin to think, well, not only that, if I make this decision, this may happen there. So complicated. Now, I'm not saying that life is not complicated. God made sure that we understood. Jonathan was in a very, very complicated situation. Complex, frightening, overwhelming, surrounded. God doesn't make light of what we face. But God wants us to know. We can take these things lightly as long as we make one thing clear. Find out if it is God's will. Jonathan knew if it is God's will, we will definitely have his presence. We will definitely have his help. Now, Christian, when we are driven by fear, when we are facing something in life, all these thoughts get out of our minds. I know you say, oh, Pastor, we learned all this, we know all this. But seriously, when you are under this kind of tremendous pressure, it is not as simple as you think that what you've learned you will remember. Or remember, oh, we must find out God's will first. How many times have people come to you for counsel? How many times have you yourself gone to people for counsel? Where if you are not the one in that situation, you see things so clearly. Come on, just is this God's will or not? But the person, no, what about this? What about this? What about this one? When the person is under pressure, it doesn't seem to occur to the person. All you need to worry as the very first thing is like what Jonathan said. It may be that the Lord will work for us if it is his will. If that is how he wants to work, if this is when he wants to work, that is all that matters. That is all I care about. So, dear friends, faith makes everything simple. Fear complicates. Complicates and confuses the whole situation in our lives. Why does Jonathan have such a strong faith? Because his faith was very simple. Very simple. Start with this understanding. This is the starting point. This is the starting question. The starting question is not, well, what if I do this and that happens? What if I chose that and then this happens? How do I know whether what will turn out? How things will turn out? That is not the first question to ask. But that will be the first tendency for us to respond and react in. That is how it is in our lives. Now, Jonathan showed us this starting point. Confirm whether it is God's will. Confirm. Find out and confirm. Now, how do we confirm? I don't want to turn this into seeking God's will. All right? But the fact is this. And we studied that just recently. The whole series on how to find God's will. Now, the thing about us is, we look at this as, oh, yeah, you know, these are things that are so situational. But Christian, what is God's will? We always read passages like that and we think, oh, this situation is about personal will. Should I do this? Should I not do that? Yes, there are personal will that God will for you. It is true. But the greater question is, we should not just apply this principle when we face the question of personally, what should I choose? Personally, what should I do for myself or for my family? Now, this lesson of faith must be applied in every aspect of God's will. Meaning especially, I would say, his preceptive will, his known will. Whatever is God's will is his commandments. His commandments are his will. When he commands you to do something, he's basically saying this, I want you to do something, means that is my will. So Christian, let us learn to apply this principle in our daily lives in every aspect. Now, especially when we know this is God's will, known in his commandments, we, in fact, don't need to ask further. Now, let me test, let me find out. Let me see. We don't need to. It is already known. And when we obey his known commandments, we can have this assurance, very clear assurance. Saul, in his fear, the first thing he was told was this: you did not keep what? The commandment that the Lord commanded you. Repeated twice. Repeated, all right? Said two times to him. Simply that. Now, Christian, when we go through life, there are more situations for us to just simply obey the known will than situations of personal choices. Obeying God's known will lead you to make the right decisions in your personal choices. Remember that. Now, let us see how strongly he wants to make sure that this is God's will. Now, look at this. Now, look at verse 6. He says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Right? So, he did not stop there. He went to find out. He went to find out. How do we know that? Now, verses 8 to verses 10 was a scheme that Saul, that Jonathan came up with, all right? He came up with. Now, he says, now, verse 8. Now, he says, behold, we will pass over to these men. We will discover ourselves. I mean, let us reveal ourselves to them. Let us reveal ourselves to them. Now, then he says in verse 9, now, if they say, come, well, you stay there, wait there, and we will come down to you. Then we will stay in our place. But, verse 10, if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord have delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. So his heart was very clear. The first thing he wanted to do, let's confirm it with a sign. A sign. The reason why he's asking for a sign, he just wanted to know, I can confirm it, I have no more fear. Christian, let us start there. Now, in his case, like we have also shown in the Bible in various places, if you want to ask for sign, you better be ready to ask for signs that, well, is going to be very difficult to happen, or it will be something that you cannot escape and you have to face it, and you better be ready to do it. Don't ask for sign that will easily happen, and when it happens, you can also wriggle out of it. Now, he's talking about not hiding. He's talking about, I don't know, what did they do? Here I am, whatever it is. I don't know. Jump up and down. Here I am. But he says, let us make sure they know we are there. Wow. Now, this is not hide and see what happens. Now, and he asked for something that is not normal. Not normal. They are on lower ground. These people are on higher ground. To say, if they discover us, if they say they come down, then don't do anything. Not God's will. But he made the test very clear. If they say, come up to us, then we'll climb up. Now, if I were the armor bearer, even if I don't have many military experience, I would say, Master is a bit off today. Because to climb up when they are on higher ground, they always have the advantage. For them to throw rocks at you, spears at you, you're finished. You're finished. It's ridiculous to do that. It's suicidal to do that. He knew, as long as I can confirm it. Once I confirm it, that is all that matters. Christian, when we know God's commandments in his word, now we don't have to be like him. We don't have to confirm. So many things are known. Live by faith in it. Now, are you living in fear in something still in your life? You know it's God's known commandment, but you're afraid. If I make this decision, if I choose to obey God, his known commandments, and live this way, whether it's family life, whether it's personal life, whether it's about marriage, whether it's about not to get married, whether it's about your health, now whatever it is, maybe it's about some financial decision, now whatever it may be, As long as you are clear, this is God's commandment. Live by faith. Don't hold back. Why are you still holding back? Why are you still unwilling to obey him? Because you and I, we like to look at the complicated situation. We like to, and we tend to focus on all the consequences if we were to obey God's even known will. That is our heart. That is the way we live. Go back to this very simple principle. Yes, when it comes to personal will, make sure you seek. Be sure. We talk about those means. But it always starts with his word and perceptive will as well. But anything that is known, are you afraid that if you make certain choices at work or about certain job, you will have not enough money to support yourself, your family? What is it that you fear? Then no matter how people counsel you, in your heart and your mind, you just say, but you don't understand, but this, but this, but this, but this. Now, Jonathan can just sit at the camp, which he was in, all right? In Gibeah, we saw. And he can sit there and look and say, wow, he literally will see them spreading out. He can have a lot of questions as well. But he just wants to know one thing. Let us ask God to make it very clear. Once it's clear, it settles everything. Such a simple place to start, right? Such a simple place to start. Now, then the next thing we want to learn is, now, besides finding out, confirming, and known commands are confirmed already, don't shrink back. The next is the A. The A. Now, what is the A? Now, look at verse 10. He asked for a sign, and the sign came true. Look at verse 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto Gerizim. Please note, not they, Gerizim discovered them, that they discovered themselves to them. And the Philistine said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of their holes, and they had hid themselves. And the men of the Gerizim answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up, come up, climb up to us. Now this is the scary confirmation. Come up unto us. Now of course, they are mocking them. They were so confident. Come up to us and we will show you a thing. Come, let us show you some secret. Come, let's show you what we can do. Whatever it is, mocking them. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, in verse 12, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Come up after me. What did he do? Verse 13, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. Wow. It is not just about, well, I have faith. Faith doesn't end with just a feeling. Well, I feel that God has confirmed this. Right? Just a feeling. No, faith acts. The moment he confirmed that it was God's will, what did he say? The Lord has delivered them to a hand. Good enough? No. Jonathan climbed upon his hands and feet, bare hands, scaled whatever it is, a rock, a cliff, a hill, scaled with his bare hands. Now, just scaling that, the description sounds quite scary, all right? My hands get cold feet and sticky hands. I don't like height. And just imagine someone doing all this kind of rock climbing up. No description of they managed to have ropes. God did say he used his hands and his feet. That is all. He acted upon the confirmation. Are you still sitting there, dear friends? You know certain decisions need to be made in your family for your child. In your heart, you acknowledge. You know. Well, if it is God's will, God will help us. But you are still sitting on that decision. You will still not act. You want to have faith like Jonathan? Well, you must be ready to act, to go forward, to do something, to do what you know you need to do. and start doing it. Now, when you delay and delay and delay, not only displeases God, you ask me, I showed you. And God can show us through his known commandments. And then you do not want to act. Why ask me? Why ask me? That is very often us. Well, now that I know, but climbing up that rock is kind of dangerous with my bare hands. If I throw a rope up, they'll cut it off. So I need to go up with my bare hands. All these kind of questions will come to your mind. Now, God, I know this is your will. I must live like that. This is what I must choose. This is what I must do. But God, if I went ahead and did it, oh, all the consequences that I may face, the losses, the ridicule, the trouble, the difficulties. Now, Jonathan just wanted to know, if it's God's will, I'm acting. That's all. Why do we delay? When we delay and delay, God says he takes no pleasure in that. No pleasure. Now, the other thing we must learn besides that, I need to stop dilly-dallying. What has God shown you in your life that you need to do, that you have not taken the step? Then you cannot say, yeah, I believe God will help, but you won't do it. You still give excuses. You still say people don't understand. Now, the last thing that we can say is unfair for us to say to Jonathan, oh, we understand, and I understand if you don't do it. That's the last thing. We can say that to him and still say, it's probably justified to say we understand, you know, you don't want to do that. Let me ask you this, dear friends. You know, the current war situation in many countries makes these passages very real to me. Because as you read the bombarding, as you read the missiles flying everywhere, as you read all these things happening, and it's amazing. You know, they shoot missiles in, and then you need to depend on missiles going up to find these missiles. And they are traveling at high speed, and then to explode in the air, and then so that these missiles will be vanquished in the air. Now, all these things are really very scary. And then people just mass going into a country against innocent. Ukraine, for example. It's scary. It's frightening. Now, I don't think we can say that any decision that we know is God's will, any commandment that we already know is God's will, can compare to what these people are going through in terms of fear and in terms of if they were to obey God in that situation. Nothing, I believe, if you're honest, can compare to what these people were going through. Then when I put myself in Saul and Jonathan's shoe, it becomes very real. But the Bible tells us that Jonathan, the moment he knows the Lord has confirmed this, he climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. No delay, and used every part of his body, every ounce, to move forward, to act. So Christian, we must stop giving the excuse. Fears are very good at deceiving our hearts to say it is not possible, it is too difficult. Yes, I know it is God's will, but I cannot act on this. It will cost me too much. Too many unknowns. When he scaled up, all he knows is a garrison is there waiting for him. When I make this decision, all I know is all this trouble may start if I were to obey God's known commandment. But faith is to act hand by hand, feet by feet, step by step. Just go forward in faith. That's all. Yes, when you make that decision, suddenly it looks like, well, I do not know what's going to happen next. But you just act. Don't give excuses anymore. Think of the situation that they are in. He acted. Now, but I think there is two more lessons with respect to acting that we must learn, all right? The A. Now, I think we must not miss the faith of the armor bearer, right? Now look at what he says. Look at verse 13. And Jonathan climbed, verse 12. Come up to us, and they say, then Jonathan said, come after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed, and notice that God wants to also say in verse 13, and his armor bearer after him, and the armor bearer after him. Wow. The armor bearer acted as well. He looked at the faith of Jonathan that stirred him. He simply said, well, Jonathan said that, well, we just need to confirm if it's God's will. God can do anything. And he simply believed what the Holy Spirit gave to Jonathan to speak to him and got recorded here. He just acted with him. He really, the Bible says, he was after him. It's not, boss, master, I'm all the way behind you. Right? All the way behind. Just keep going far. I'm behind you. Don't worry. You know, go, go, go. No, God says he was literally step by step behind him. Now, there is a lesson to learn for ourselves. Sometimes, yes, God understands. We fear. To be the first one to do it, we fear. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, all right, God talks about we are encompassed about with so great. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So many have gone before us. They are people who are martyred. That is the word witness. Martyred. They were the examples of martyrs. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. The passage on faith teaches us also, when you see, I understand you fear to be the first one. But when you see other Christians have lived through it, when you see families have made the decision and God helped them, they could. You think that I can't. But many have. I mean, these were martyrs. They're not talking about financial situation. I can't, you know, my financial situation. They are talking about life and death. God says, now, wherefore? Because of that, knowing so many have gone through that, and you worship the same Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, the same God. Now, let us lay aside every weight. Stop giving excuses. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Search your heart. Is it something that you don't want to let go of? You want to do, but you use it as a situation to give excuse. That sin, whatever it is. Oh, no, you know, I need to do this. I need to not do this and that. Only you know. What is that sin that is besetting you, that is holding you back? Instead of acting and start climbing, besets you and besets you to make that decision and start acting. What is it? Look to these people, and they worship the same author and finisher, the same God. So yes, if you find that you struggle, and you look at another Christian, he came out. He will not take a job that would cause him to sin. And even if he meant there was no job, and he was jobless for more than a year, we have many of this in our midst. They went through it by the grace of God, and God continued to provide for them. I must not fear. It is the same God that provided for him or her that will provide for me. I just need to know if God's word says this is sin, I just simply act according to his will. That is all. Now, I'm very glad that many parents, now you just don't know it. Some parents that come into our meeting say, you know, we never believe that it's possible to bring our children to prayer meetings, to Bible studies, to do family worship. But the hearts were rebuilt again and again. We see people with so many children compared to us, but they live by faith. And we see they experience the blessings of God, the help of God. We cannot but act. So not only be a stirrer, not only be stirred, be a stirrer, all right, of such a faith. So that's the second thing about acting. Now, there's a third thing about acting. What is the third thing? Now, I want you to notice in verse verse 14. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Why does God give us these details? It has to do with faith and acting. Now, they went up, and all this slaughter was 20 soldiers. 20. We are talking about, well, thousands and thousands of soldiers, if not hundreds of thousands, but 20 soldiers. How big a land did they take back or take from the Philistines? Well, verse 14. Was about 20 men, within, as it were, half an acre of land, which is the yoke of an oxen might plow. Just what one animal can plow in a day. All right? Just a small area. Even an animal after that, you'll be tired. All right? A small area. So this is how they would usually say, just a yoke of oxen might plow. They're talking about not very big. I don't have a very big land, just a yoke of oxen might plow, that's all. Right? The description is not very big. Now, what is that for us to learn? Why does God want to tell us even how much land? Now, when we act, we also must remember, nothing is too small when we act in faith. It doesn't matter whether it was a big garrison. It does not matter whether they took a lot of land. But you read after that. With this, God caused, together with an earthquake, which we'll study, God willing, the week after, all these things, God used just the beginning act of these two men to cause the whole army of the Philistines to melt. Now, sometimes when we are caught in a choice to have faith, we can excuse ourselves. You know, it's just small thing here, small thing there, small disobedience here, small disobedience there. No, just small things. Anyway, even if I stop working or if I don't take this job, it's not going to make a lot of difference. Even if I come to church or don't come, won't make a lot of difference, right? That is how we think. Won't make a lot of difference. But it is this small victory that God would use to bring massive, unthinkable victory for Israel. Remember that. Now back to this watching. Parents and singles and elderly, learn that lesson. There are people watching you. Your children will watch how you make decisions in life. If they feel that when it's small things, daddy and mommy won't exercise faith. I just do what we want. Anyway, it won't make much difference. Go to church and study every week. If you can study, it's just not very important. Do you have faith that is precept upon precept? Or do you come, didn't learn much, I want to learn about this, and then, don't go anymore? Or do you exercise faith? God says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. Whether it's salvific faith or after salvation. Same principle, faith comes by hearing. Now, that is why many thumb their nose at the study of the word, Bible studies, prayer meetings. Do you have faith that bit by bit, your child will learn to pray because you come? Because they see it matters. Just one night to come to pray for God's church, not very long, but it matters. That prayer meeting matters a lot. We must go. That is how important prayer is. Your child will watch. Singles, elderly, the same. The other singles will look at you as an example, how you live, how you make choices, how you trust in God, how you use your resources. Even it seems like, well, you know, you can even think, well, my giving to the building is just a little bit. Makes no difference. What's the point? Don't give. Just a little bit. It's not going to make much difference. So you don't. You see, excuses. I give, I return. Or elderly, how you live? In fear, in your old age? Constantly worrying about your health, constantly worrying about your resources, constantly worrying about whether you'll be left alone, and keep talking about that. Same for young people, your health. Now, others will pick it up. Either you stir people with faith or you teach them to have fear. Learn to have this kind of faith, like Jonathan, all right? You act. You be the one, and God will help you. Now, then we come to the I. We're running out of time. The I. Now, what is the I? Intentions are very important. Intentions. Now, what was Jonathan's intention? Now, look at verse 10. Now, I say, well, for the Lord had delivered them into our hand. Our hand. Now, is Jonathan wanting to take glory? Deliver us into our hand. You see what he means by deliver them into our hands. All right? It is found in verse 12. What he meant was this: for the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. Use me as a channel, Lord. We sang just now, channel of blessing. Use me as a channel, but it is not for my glory. What Jonathan wanted to see, his intentions, was God will deliver them into the hand of Israel. Was the work of God, the kingdom of God. That was what it was. Saul was always fearing for himself. Jonathan would put his life on the line without fear because, you know, it's God's word. For what? For self-glory. You know, imagine, Jonathan, imagine I'm a barrier. If the two of us win this victory, imagine the kind of rewards we'll get and the promotion you and I will have when we get back to main camp. No, deliver into Israel's hand. Your intentions. Now, dear friends, I don't want to give us any misunderstanding. We can go around feeling, I have faith, right? The blab it and claim it today, or say it and claim it today, whatever it is. If I have faith that God will give me this house, this car, this job, this results in school, this thing in my family, I just want to, I don't know, like trying to lay an egg. Faith. God will answer. This is not that. It's your intentions. Your intentions. Why do you want God to answer your prayer about healing your child? Why do you want God to answer you to give you a job, about retaining your job, about healing you, about this choice for your child? Why? Why do you want that? Jonathan's heart, when he exercised faith, had this element. God has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Israel will win. Means the kingdom of Israel, the God of Israel will be glorified. That is what he was aiming for. So, Christian, I hope you always examine your intention. Every time when you pray, now prayer is a sign of faith, right? If you don't pray, it means you say, God, I don't need your help. Our theme this year is prayer. When you pray, make sure you ask deep in your heart, Lord, what is my intention for asking this? I endlessly say, and you probably fed up of me saying, but are you doing it? Always use so that. Lord, I pray this and that. Can you please answer this prayer and that prayer? So that the moment you add so that, the following statement will reveal your own heart. Of course, you be honest, right? Don't pretend. So that. Examine the intention. So don't think just because you keep thinking you have faith and I have faith and God must answer. I don't ask to have any misunderstanding about that. Now then we come to the T. Now what is the T? I want you to notice one thing. Look at verse 7. Now the armor bearer said this to Jonathan, and his armor bearer said unto him, now do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. So the armor bearer kept saying, well, whatever is in your heart, I am with you with that. Just do what your heart feels, desires. Isn't that very common? Well, the famous phrase today is something along the, well, whenever you are not sure, we studied that at prayer meeting, whenever you are not sure, go with your heart. Isn't that true? That is how it is. Now, is heart all that matters to Jonathan? And sometimes you will hear advice. You say, I do not know which is God's will. We just answered that on Sunday, right? How do I know which is God's will? Then we always say, well, as long as it doesn't break any commandment, and, well, as long as it's not sinful, then it is okay to choose what your heart goes after. It's not fully wrong, all right? If your heart is truly after God, your heart will choose what God desires. But it is not always right. It's very deceptive for ourselves. We love to hear that. So we will go around asking people that will give us this answer. Well, do what is in your heart. There's no right or wrong in this. Just as long as your intentions are good, that is all that matters. That is what the armor bearer was saying to him. Almost like Satan would use him. Satan is very wise and experienced. Oh, Jonathan is going to exercise faith now. I need to send someone to tempt him. Just do what is in your heart. But I want you to notice how Jonathan responds to that immediately. He did not say, oh, okay, in my heart to deliver Israel, it is a good thing, right? And I have good intentions, right? I'm not trying to make a name for myself. Well, my heart desire is that. But no, that is not how he responded. When he said, do it whatever is in your heart in verse 7, now, verse 8 to verse 11, verse 8 to verses 11 was not, then let's go and do it, was, let us test if this is God's will. The T stands for test. Test it against God's will. Test it against God's word. For them, a sign is God's word, all right? For us, we have God's word. Test, test, test. My point is this. How different is this from the fine? Well, we can fine. But dear friends, one of the deceptive things about our hearts, we can tell people even, I know this is God's will. I've searched it in God's heart. And you can quote Bible verses, but you don't test. Honestly. You test only with certain scriptures. You test with only certain verses that support what you and I want to do, right? That's how we are. But Jonathan tests with a suicidal test. He is serious about this. Now, anything that you can feel very strongly, and you, now faith is not just feeling, all right? It's not just feeling, it's acting. We said that, John. And faith is also not just feeling, all right? Faith is really testing everything that you say you want to do or do not want to do. Test with every kind of commandment you can find in scriptures. You willing to do that? Most of us are not. The moment we find one, because our heart is full of fear and full of certain inclination, we just want to find certain verses to support our views. And when even someone else shows you another verse, well, you rationalize. You don't want to go through all the tests, honestly. Feeling of good intentions does not mean that it is pleasing to God. Remember that. Good intentions have destroyed many a Christian and church. Test it against everything in God's word. Be honest about it. You say, I found it already. Have you really tested it? Christian, we go through life in situations, in fear, with many feelings. And you may even feel, and sincerely, all right, I'm not mocking, I'm not rebuking you even, I'm pleading with you earnestly. Faith, true faith, is not just about good intentions. This armor bearer, whatever is in your heart, he said that to Jonathan. But Jonathan's faith was one that is very clear. I will test it with a suicidal test. That is how serious I am to make sure that I've covered everything and I'm willing to do anything. And whatever God shows me, I am willing to do it. I will scale the mountains. So, Christian, be honest. Truly test. Don't keep living a life that say all it matters is good intentions. I feel it in my heart, and that's it. Now, then the last one, all right? We've got to close. The last one. What is H? What is H? Now, we look at verse 14. Oh, sorry, verse 13. Now, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and the armor bearer after him, and they fell before, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Verse 14. And that first slaughter. Now, what are we to learn? They hurled themselves into the battle. It was not just mere acting. Well, we do something, they hurled themselves into the battle, into the fray. They went into the heat of the battle. Now, we can act, but act half-heartedly. We make decisions, all right, I have faith, all right, I see that it's God's word, all right, I examine my heart, I know I'm trying to make excuses. I've sorted all those things out. All right, I will act. But can I do this but not do that? Can I just obey partly and still do what I want to do? Now, here are the two men. The Bible says they just hurled themselves headlong into the fray. No holding back. No half-heartedness. They know that they turn back, is falling back down. No turning back. They just went forward. That is why God was with them all the way. Don't be half-hearted in your faith. Now look at verse 14, chapter 14, and I'll close with this last thought. Chapter 14, look at how God described things. Don't miss it. Chapter 14, verse 1. And now it came to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, and a young man that bare his armor, say, come and let us go over to the Philistines. Now, it says, the garrison on the other side. But he told not his father. But look at verse 2, what God describes about Saul. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600. Why did God want to say even where Saul was sitting? Notice the words that God chose. Number one, to Jonathan is go over to the other side. Now, the descriptions given to us describes the strategic situation they're in and the problem that they're in. So here we have Gibeah. Here we have Michmash, all right, roughly. And then you have the enemy spreading north and this way. And Jonathan here say, let's go over. This is Gibeah. Jonathan says, let's go over. But what did God say? Where was Saul? Look at verse 2. Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah. Means Saul tarried to make sure he's at far, uttermost part. This is Gibeah. Make sure he's at the tip of Gibeah, as far from Michmash as possible. Or as far as the place where Jonathan and the armor bearer would go. They went in opposite direction. Fear makes you retreat. Not hurl yourself into the fray. Not hurl yourself into the decision and just go and go full-hearted and full steam and not half-hearted and try to still want to get your way. That is not faith. You may look like faith to others. Now, let me ask you this question today. The title is Fear or Faith? Faith is a gift of God. I know all of you want to quote that. Even faith is a gift of God. But just like every other gift after salvation, we can choose not to exercise it. We can choose not to exercise it. That is how it is. Saul chose not to exercise it. Saul chose to fear. Fear or faith? Jonathan chose to have faith. It is a choice. It is a choice. Even in this very, very severe, unthinkable situation, take a plane, fly into Israel now, fly into Ukraine now. I'm not saying really do that. All right? In your mind's eye, and go there and you sit there, and then you ask yourself, Will I choose fear or faith? It is a choice. You have a choice to be like King Saul. Go as far as possible from that decision, that choice. Hide under the tree. Sit under a shade, comfortable, feeling safe. Or you can choose faith to go forth. Well, there will be fears. God described there were many things that make you fear. But you choose to confirm that it's God's will and to hurl yourself full steam forward. Whether it's about your family choices, whether it's about what God reveals to you about singlehood or marriage, whether it's about some financial decision, whatever it is, you can choose to stay far away from all this battle when others face it, feel comfortable, feel safe. Well, we can choose to always stay in the shady darkness of fear, but feeling comfortable. Or you go forth, like Jonathan and his armor bearer. Go forth, act, hurl yourself by faith into that decision and never turn back. That are the lessons of faith we learn from his first statement. If it is God's will, if it is God's will. God willing, we'll learn the rest as we come back. But let us rise now to sing the closing hymn. Faith is the victory for